The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
This is not the small print of the gospel. This is not some hidden message in Scripture. Jesus made it very clear that a decision to follow was a decision to die, to surrender everything to Him. And so Jesus turns to the crowd, and He turns to you and me, and He asks the one question that will ultimately define our lives. Are you a fan or a follower?
Hebrews 9:27 says, "Man is destined to die once, and after that, to face the judgment." Those are the two guarantees. We will all die, and we will all stand before God. When that moment comes to all of us, there's only one question that will really matter, is have you decided to follow Jesus? If I could, I would ask you that question differently, because it's very personal. I wish I could come over to your house and knock on your door. Hopefully I could talk you into letting me come in and sit down for a few minutes. And I would want to sit across the kitchen table from you and look you in the eye and ask you this question. I know that when you hear me ask, "Have you decided to follow Jesus?" many of you quickly nod your head yes and say, "Yeah, I'm a follower." But why do you say that? Because I'm not asking if your parents were followers. I'm not asking if you've prayed a prayer. I'm not asking if you say grace before meals or if you come to church. I'm not even asking if you believe in Jesus. I am asking, are you a follower of Jesus? Because one day there are many who say, "I am a follower," that will stand before God and be declared fans.
6 weeks ago, we began a series called Not a Fan. And if you're here this morning and visiting with us, I don't want you to feel left out. Today, if you are going to be a part of any week, today's the day to not miss what we're going to share. I would encourage you, though, if you are able to find time to do so, that you'd go back to our website, hopehillchurch.org, and you can go to the media messages portion. You can listen to this series on your own time. The challenges that have been set forth through this series have really caused us to think and reflect deeply about ourselves and our journey with God. And today, I'm going to ask a tough question to all of us. Actually, the question is really rather simple, but sometimes us coming up with the answer can be tough. And today, my hope and prayer is that the Holy Spirit allows you to see clearly where you are in your walk with Jesus. And so before we go any further, I just want to take a moment just to pray and ask God to break open our hearts and to help us hear Him. So will you please join me in prayer? Father God, we love You, and we thank You for who You are. We thank You for how much You love us, in spite of, God, our brokenness, in spite of the sin in our lives, God. You gave everything for us. And today, this morning, I pray, God, that as we tune into Your Holy Spirit, that our hearts and minds will be open to Your loving voice calling to us. And so, God, I pray now that as we take the next moments together, that You would speak to us as individuals and You would draw us to Yourself. In Your name we pray. Amen. Today is a little different. We are keeping the family together, but I do want to let you know that if for some reason, as TJ already shared, that you want your child, preschool and under, to be under, be in an environment where they can be cared for, then my wife, Brandy, will slip out and care for your children over the next time that we have together. But that is optional. Of course, we want to encourage you to keep your kids in. If you would like them to have a busy bag, we have a whole table of busy bags where they can color and draw and still be a part of our service. Today, at the end of service, we're going to have a time of baptisms, and we think it's a wonderful time and opportunity for you to sit there and love on your child while we worship God and celebrate what He's doing in our lives together. Some of my greatest memories in life was about the age of 6 and 7 years old. My father had become a follower of Jesus. He He had left a life of dealing drugs and running from God and had surrendered his whole heart to God. And I remember as a six-year-old sitting in a hardwood pew with my dad's arm around me and him playing with my ear as I snuggled up against him. And so my hope and encouragement would that you would find times like this an opportunity to keep your kids close, to love on them as we listen to the truths of Jesus together. But if you would like to have your children in our child care environment, then you can do so. That's in the library, and my wife Brandy will be overseeing that if you would like to use that. All right, so let's go ahead and move forward. Over this series, a number of us have gone a little deeper, not just listening to the messages on Sunday mornings, but we've been a part of community groups that have been taking these lessons, these clips that we've been showing, like that young girl there. Throughout the story of this series, behind this series, we see a modern-day story of a father who is a believer who has a heart attack. And everybody in the family kind of pictures where they are in their own walk. Before this gentleman died, he was walking away from God. He was Christian in a sense that he had walked an aisle one day. He had prayed a prayer, but it really didn't impact his life. And the way he ran his business and the way that he operated outside of church was a completely different story. But as he drew closer to God, and as God kind of got a hold of him, his whole world turned upside down, and he realized that he shouldn't just be a Christian by name, but to become a Christian every day. And he became a follower over time. Well, into that process, he died of a heart attack, and everybody around him looked at him and has found themselves questioning, where am I in my walk? Another component of this is that many of us have been going through a daily journal that urged us to morning, noon, and night reflect on certain passages of Scripture. And one of those passages of Scripture was Luke 9:23. Jesus was standing with those closest to him, and he said, if any of you truly want to follow me, if you want to come after me and follow me, you need to be willing to die to yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. And as we've gone through this series, we've asked ourselves this question. Are we here to be fans, to celebrate the great things of who God is and what a community like this can do when we rally to be a part of one another? Or is Jesus enough? And Jesus turned to each of them. And as we see in the Scriptures, Jesus never was about the crowd. Jesus actually often, at times when there was a crowd, shared some things to thin it out purposefully. And today I'm going to take us back to the very first story that we shared as a part of this series. John chapter 5, a lot of us know, in John chapter 6. There's a story where Jesus is with his disciples, and fame and popularity of Jesus started to spread. A lot of people heard about this man named Jesus who was teaching some interesting things, and he was supposedly performing some interesting miracles. And so a crowd of 5,000. Now, back then, when they counted, a lot of times they just counted the heads of household. So all the men in the crowd were there, and they were counted, about 5,000. And if there were women and families there together, you know, we're looking at maybe 10, 15,000 people gathered together. And the disciples see that it's getting late in the day. And this crowd, as they've gathered to hear Jesus and to cheer him on and to be a fan, they heard about this guy, and they were drawn to go and listen to him. And the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, it's getting late. This crowd is getting hungry, and it would take like 6 to 9 months' wages to feed this crowd. We need to send them on so they can go into the town and find something to eat, and we can feed ourselves. But Jesus looked around, and he said, no, we're going to take care of this. And one of the other disciples looked into the crowd, and he saw a young boy with a sack lunch, and he went up to him. I don't know if it was truly a sack. I don't know if they had brown bags back then. But anyways, the boy had a lunch. And the boy came up and offered his lunch, a few loaves of fish and a few loaves of bread. And loaves of fish, that's weird. You get what I mean. A few fish and a few loaves of bread. And he offered it, and Jesus took it. And the Bible tells us that Jesus offered it up to God and said a prayer of thanksgiving. And the food began to be passed out till everyone in the crowd was fed. And the disciples were able to pick up the baskets, and there were leftovers. Now, this is pretty amazing. And this is what the fans wanted. They wanted to see a miracle happen in front of them. Well, this crowd stayed. They wanted They wanted an encore. They wanted to see Jesus top that. So they stayed the night. But through the night, Jesus and his disciples snuck off. Jesus went to be alone for a little while to pray. And he told his disciples he was going to meet them on the other side of the lake. And so the next morning, Jesus goes on the other side of the shore. And the crowd wakes up, and now they're hungry. It's time for breakfast. They look for Jesus and the all-you-can-eat buffet, but Jesus is nowhere to be found. And they continue to look for him, and finally, they get word that maybe he went across to the other side to where the synagogue is. We can maybe find him there. So the crowd walks around, the scriptures tell us in John chapter 6, and they get across to the other side where Jesus is, and he's teaching, and they come up to him, and they're like, "Hey, is it time to eat again?" And Jesus looks at him and says, "You're not looking for me because you want to know who I am. You don't want to follow me. You're looking for me because you had your fill." And for many of us, the sad thing is, we've been a part of churches that are filled with people just looking to have their fill, just looking to have their needs met. And it really isn't about Jesus. In fact, sometimes Jesus can be offensive. And as long as we can kind of just play down the Jesus part and just love one another and care for one another, that's a great thing to rally behind, and let's do it. But Jesus made it clear in the following verses that I'll share in a minute that it wasn't about anything else. It was simply about Jesus. And I want you to hear about that in just a little bit. But before you hear more from me, I want to invite Mike Conley to come on up and to share the way the Holy Spirit's got hold of his heart through this journey. So Mike, thank you for coming. Mike is a part of the small group that I'm a part of, and Mike didn't know I was going to do this. He may not have willfully obeyed, not me, but God, if he had knew that I would be having him up here in front of you. But what's really awesome is not just the way God works back in the Old Testament and the New Testament and Scripture, but how he's working in our hearts today. And so I'd love you to hear from Mike. Thank you for sharing, Mike.
Can't tell. Oh, yeah. Okay. As John said, we're doing the study in the group. A couple of weeks ago, John shared the story with us of the prostitute who was one of the people in one of those crowds and then decided she needed more from Jesus, not food, just needed Jesus. And so she went to a Pharisee's house, and this woman who had lived a life of shame, shed all of her fears, her feelings of doubt, her not wanting to be embarrassed, not wanting to have people say bad things to her, and she went into this dinner setting and poured out her love for Jesus using her hair to wash his feet with her tears and pouring an entire expensive bottle of perfume to anoint his feet. And I had an experience the week before John told that story, that previous week, because I've been reading the Not a Fan book as part of our study and filling in the journal. And when John told that story, it just, you know, Nathan said, "Today we come to you, Lord, broken." And I felt broken that week. And I came up to pray with Donna, and we came up to pray with John, and I just broke down, told him what had happened to me that week and how this had impacted me. Because I had read that story previously as part of going through the study. And so I was standing in my commuter bus line getting ready to come home. And one of the local buses came up, and this gentleman that I recognized came out. And he hangs around our plaza at work a lot. I'd actually given him money for a meal or a cup of coffee before. But he came down, and I was probably number 8 in line, and he started really kind of just trooping the line, and he just kept saying, "Do you have any change? Do you have any change? Do you have any change?" And he got to me, and I just kind of pretended like I didn't know him, had never seen him before, because nobody else had given him anything. And so I wasn't going to be the only one. And I started thinking about the story of the prostitute. And I I mean, I felt the shame. And I got on the bus, and so we're working on this journal. I said, okay, that's behind me. I got to fill out this journal. So I opened it to the page I was on, and here's the question I was supposed to answer. When a person has a one and only, he often writes love notes, even poetry to the beloved. Before moving on with your day, write a few words to Jesus, telling him what you think of him. So I sat there and I started writing in the journal. And then I went back and read what I wrote. And what I had written was, Lord, I just said no to you. Not because I couldn't help you, but because I was hesitant to witness before strangers. I love you, but I'm clearly not ready to follow you. Remove the chains that keep me from embracing you, Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I might defeat my weakness and choose the path that leads to you, not away from you. And then, the whole bus ride home, I'm thinking about this, and I'm feeling ashamed, and, I'm home. And I don't think I shared the story with Donna that night. But I just prayed, and I said, I'm sorry, Lord. So the next morning, the very next morning, this time I'm on a metro station. Again, the platform's full of people. And I see this frail, elderly gentleman walking. Now, he's not asking a lot of people for things. He's just kind of walking through the crowd. And he walks up, stands right in front of me, looks me in the eyes, and says, Sir, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten for 2 days. Can you please help me? And I just opened my wallet. I can't even tell you how much I gave him. That's irrelevant. I couldn't even find words. I just said to him, God bless you, sir. And he left. And in the past when I've given money, we've all done that occasionally, I felt, good about myself. Boy, I'm really a good Christian. I just gave somebody $2. But this time, there was no self-satisfaction. The only thing I could do is stand there on a platform. And say, thank you, Lord, for not turning your back on me, no matter how many times I've turned my back on you. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. My brother Jack Gleason, and we were doing a study earlier in another book, and there was a line in there that haunted him. And it was, do you treat everybody you meet as if they were Jesus? I can tell you, standing here, I don't treat Donna and Jacob like they were Jesus every day. It's such a difficult thing to do, but it just feels so right when it's done.
Thank you, Mike, for sharing that. The truth is that God will speak to us each in different ways. He'll call us all out when we least expect it. And what's so amazing about being a part of Hope Hill Community is that throughout the last 2 years that we've been a part of God planting this new church, we could be here all day just listening to the different stories that could come from you, ways that God showed up or led you to take a step of obedience or to reach out in a way that maybe you didn't before. And that's where God meets us, is in the everyday, every moment of life. One other thing I want to share with you is that this thing we're doing next week, this celebration, this Fall Fest, one thing that I swore we would never do in planting a church, if God ever gave me the ability to be a part of a church plant, was just do things for the sake of doing them. We wanted to have purpose and vision and intention behind everything we do. A year ago, a few of the families in here are part of soccer teams. And some of you have been here, have heard this story. Well, there's one particular family that was a part of my daughter Lexi's soccer team who lives in Forest Park Mobile Home Community. And we just felt like God was drawing us to reach out to that family in a special way. What also was happening at the same time is Tracy, who is not here today, she's on a soccer field. She's on a soccer field today with her daughter, Aaliyah. Tracy started going over to Forest Park Community. If you don't know where Forest Park Mobile Home Community is, there's a Food Lion down by Hoadley. You guys know where that is, most of you? Across the street from that Food Lion is a a road called Taylor Drive, and it goes back to a mobile home community with about 160 trailers. And we've been going over to this community just meeting needs, providing school supplies, Thanksgiving meals, Christmas for the holidays, presents for Christmas. And Tracy just felt this drawing to go over there on Saturdays and just start playing with kids. She'd bring her own children, and a number of you started to join her. And we would bring soccer balls and frisbees and jump ropes and bubbles, and we would just go over there and play with kids and have play dates and get to know parents and find out what needs they have so that we could meet them. Well, one of the families they were getting to know was a family, the same family on my daughter Alexis's soccer team. And we didn't know that we were both kind of feeling led to the same family, but as we were led to the same family, God was working in the midst of that situation, in the midst of those relationships. And that family now is a part of our community and comes. And Irina, I may have just mispronounced it. Is she with us here today, Anna? Irene. Okay. I've been told her English name is Irene. Okay, that's easier for me to say. Okay. She's actually sitting with us in the back row. And a number of the families from Forest Park community, they're Spanish speaking. And so what happens if you hear murmuring in the background a lot of times or talking, people aren't just talking. People like Alma are sitting back there and translating live right now what I'm saying into Spanish so that the families that we're reaching out to can hear the good news at the same time. So don't get annoyed by the people talking behind you. We practice the gift of tongues and translation here at Hope Hill Church. So thank you for sharing that. And that's the way God is working. God is working outside of these four walls, and he is building relationships, and the gospel is spreading, and people are being obedient followers of Christ. And that is what this is all about. So as Jesus was with the crowds, he stood there that morning and said, "Are you here just because of what I have to offer? Or are you here for me? You know, if you just keep coming for your next fill, just as your forefathers in the desert years ago ate the manna that was provided for them, the bread of heaven, today I want to tell you," Jesus said, "that I am the bread of life. And if you eat of me, you will never be hungry again. And I am also the water that if you drink of it, you will never thirst again. And if you aren't willing to eat of my body and drink of my blood," which sounded kind of freaky to them, he said, "then you're not fit to follow me." How many of you have heard the number of the beast, the devil's number? What is that number? 666. I've been a minister for 20 years, and I never paired 666 with a verse in John chapter 6, verse 66. John 6:66 says this: "From that moment on, many of the disciples chose to never follow him." And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to get to a place where we turn our back on Jesus and we stop being fans and we decide, "It's too much, I can't follow you. I'm just going to cheer you on from a distance," or in some cases, walk away. You know, Jesus speaks clearly to each of us. And over the next few minutes, I want to present to you what is known as the gospel. The Bible tells us that God created each of us thousands of years ago. Adam and Eve were created and they were put in the Garden of Eden. They were made perfect in his image. But sin came into the world because Adam and Eve and we as human beings, even though we have a perfect life before us, the Bible says that all of us choose to do wrong. When you were born, no one had to teach you how to do evil. I didn't have to sit down Jordan, Bailey, and Alexis and say, "Here's how you say no. Here's how you beat up your sister. Here's how you do evil." It's in us. The scriptures tell us that we're born with a flesh that pulls us away from God. We are corrupted and have sin in our lives. But the Bible says that Jesus was sent to reconcile us. What that means is it's to return us to the relationship that God had always intended each of us to have with him. And the Bible says that because God loved us, John 3:16, he sent his only son, and that whoever believes in him will not have to perish but will have everlasting life. And so many of us have heard John 3:16, We have heard, if we believe in God and accept him, that what he did on the cross will pay for our sins. The blood that he shed will wash us white as snow. The scriptures say that. What he did paid for all that we have ever done and all that we will ever do. But we have to come to a place of saying, I believe in you. But not only do I believe in you, but I surrender to you. I put my heart's belief in you. And Romans says that if we believe in our heart and confess him with our mouth, that Jesus is Lord, not that Jesus is simply the way to heaven, but that he is Lord, Lord of our lives. If we believe in him as Lord, then we will become a child of God. And for some of you, you've been sitting in these services as a fan. You've enjoyed what Hope Hill has been about. You've enjoyed being a part of the outreaches that we do. You enjoy the warm, fuzzy feelings some of you have shared with me that you get while singing. Oh, worship was so good, I got goosebumps today. You know, that's all good. But if we didn't have the band, if we didn't have the ability to outreach and to do inflatables at Fall Fest, would Jesus be enough? Would Jesus be enough? Would the fact that Jesus gave up his life for you and I be enough for you? Would you be willing to follow him if that's all we had to offer? This morning, Jesus makes it clear to all of us. The scriptures say that today is the day of salvation, and that each of us need to come to a place where we realize that there is no good in us that we can do to earn God's love. The Bible says that all have sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. God is perfect. In him, he is light, and there is no darkness at all. And John, 1 John chapter 1, it says that we have sin in our lives, and if we think that we can earn our own way to heaven, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But 1 John 1, 9 says that if we confess our sins to Jesus, if we ask him for forgiveness and agree with him, Jesus, I am a sinner. I am a broken person, and I cannot live the kind of life that you want me to live. I cannot walk as you walk. The Bible says that Jesus will cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. And it's at each moment in our life from that point on that we walk this journey with Christ, a journey that says it's not about me or what I can do, but it's about what you did for me, and it's about how you forgive me because of the blood you shed. That is where we find forgiveness. And that is where we find that he took our place when he died on that cross. And so this morning, my question to you is this. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Have you ever called out to Christ and said, forgive me for the sin that is in my life? Come into my life. Make me a follower. Make me a child of yours. Help me to walk the right path. The scriptures tell us this. Here's what's interesting. The scriptures tell us that even the fallen angels, even demons, believe in God and believe in Jesus, and yet they tremble. So it's not enough just to know that Jesus is the way. A lot of us, we can stand from a distance and say, yeah, Jesus, he over there, he's the way to heaven, but we don't follow him. The scriptures say, are you willing to be born again, to become a child of God, and to follow him? And that's my question this morning. Are you willing to put your faith in Jesus Christ and to follow him? Not just cheer him on from a distance, not just believe in the good morals that he taught, not just be, you know, a good person, but are you willing today to say, nothing in me is good enough, God. I love you because you loved me. And I accept the love that you have to offer me. And I open up my heart. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so today I'm going to pray what is often called a sinner's prayer with you. And if today you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, if Jesus is enough for you, then today you can invite Jesus into your heart. And you can leave today on the journey, on the path of being a follower of Jesus. Now, is everything in a moment going to be fixed? Is your life going to be perfect? No, Jesus said, if you follow me, there will be hard times. There will be times when you struggle, but a righteous person gets up over and over again and pursues the forgiveness of God and the love of God every time we mess up. we come back to him, but we keep following him. And so today, my question is, are you ready to take the next step in that journey? And for some of you, this will be the first step. For some of you, you will become a child of God for the first time today. You will come to a place where you say, I do put my faith, my trust in Jesus. I am going to obey. I'm going to accept into my life now, whatever that means. Whatever that means. Whatever that means. I'm willing to follow Jesus. As the disciples came to become followers of Jesus, the scriptures tell us that they left everything and followed him. Are you willing to be a follower of Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, I ask right now that in these next moments, that young and old, we would be hearing the moving of your Holy Spirit on our hearts right now. Your scriptures tell us that none of us come to you unless your Holy Spirit draws us. So right now, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit is moving. I pray that you are helping us to put aside anything that gets between us and you, and that we would today be willing to declare out loud publicly that I am a follower of Jesus. I am putting my trust in you. I am turning away from trying to live this life on my own righteous actions. I am turning away from trying to live this life, picking myself up every time I fail. And instead, God, today I declare that I want to follow you. I don't have all it takes to follow you, but I am trusting, Jesus, that as I walk one step at a time with you, you will embrace me and help me to take those steps that are tough. Today, I want to follow you. And I put my trust, I put my belief, I put my faith in you. I declare that you're the most important thing in my life. I pray that you forgive me for the sins that are in my life, for the habits that I can't seem to shake and break and get out of my life. I ask that you come into my life, that you forgive me, that you heal me, that you take me and make me new, that you make me a follower, a child of yours, and that I, God, from this point forward, I choose to follow you. As you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, the scriptures tell us that many who chose to believe in Jesus were believed and baptized. They chose to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, they said, we want everyone to know. And back then, look up at me. Back then, look at me. Back then, becoming a believer in Jesus Christ was like joining a cult back then. Back then, they weren't called Christians. They were called followers of the way. And if you were a Jewish person and yet you believed in Jesus Christ, you would be excommunicated from your community. And yet, at the Jordan River, the center of all that was happening in the area, people would walk down into the river and they would say, I believe in Jesus. I repent of my sins and I want to follow him. And they would be baptized. They would be taken down into the river and in front of people who were buying and selling and bartering and fishermen cleaning their nets, they would be brought down into the waters and they would be baptized saying, I die with Christ and I raise to walk with him. And so we are now challenged. Jesus said to the disciples, go into all the world. Tell them everything I've taught you. Tell them about me. Tell them about my love and baptize them. Make disciples. And that is what we're here for today. So some of you have heard this challenge today. And I want to push you like I've never pushed you before. I want to ask you this morning, are you really willing to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you really willing to put your faith and your trust in him? And if so, would you be willing to share that with our community? Today, we're going to have some baptisms. And you may have come here today having no clue what was going to happen at Hope Hill Church. You may have come here today saying, I'm going to leave dry. But some of you are going to leave wet today. And here's how we're going to make it easier for you. Not that following Jesus is ever easy, but here's what we've done. I've been praying, and I believe that God has some of you here today who want to declare to our community that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of you have made that decision years ago. or months ago or weeks ago, and you just haven't yet been baptized. The scriptures tell us, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, I ask you. He commanded us to be baptized. And so today, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to that in obedience. Behind this screen, I'm not joking, behind this screen, there is a kitchen that they serve lunches. We have shorts and t-shirts for women in that kitchen and changing areas so you can slip out behind that curtain. You're like, this is weird. Where am I this morning? You can go in there and you can change out of your clothes. There are beach towels back there and you can get yourself ready. If you're ready to say, I'm a believer of Jesus, I've never taken the step of baptism and I want to do it today. I want to commit to be a follower of Jesus Christ. There are all sizes, all the way from extra small to triple X large. Your size shorts and t-shirts are back there. Men, we have shorts and t-shirts over here. And we don't want you to leave today if you know that this is the step of obedience you're supposed to take. We're not here to be fans. We're here to be followers. We're here to jump on board and to worship God together and say, God, whatever it takes, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. And if you're not sure what this all is about, I'm going to come back and our worship team is going to lead. And if some of you are ready, you're like, I have already given my heart to Jesus. I'm ready to be baptized. As soon as you say go, I'm diving in, then we'll be ready for that. But if others of you here, especially those with young children, if your children are right now saying, Mom, Dad, I want to jump in the water, we want you to carefully help guide them. When I was 6 years old, I was in a Sunday school class and somebody shared how Jesus loved me and died for me. And I put my faith and trust as a six-year-old child in Jesus Christ. And today I stand before you as a follower of Christ, following him for the last 34 years. And at that day, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as a six-year-old. An hour later, I was in big church and I was baptized. And so if you have a child here that wants to be baptized, I want you to make sure that this isn't just the game we're playing. It's not just swim time. I want you to help your child understand that Jesus loves us. And if they understand they want to be a child of God, then God is here to, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And so if you feel comfortable as a parent, as a family, that your child is a believer and putting his faith, a childlike faith in Christ, then I will respect that and I will join you and celebrate that with you today if you want your child to be baptized. And if you're an adult and you would like to talk to or pray with one of our adults, we have prayer teams in the back. I'll be up here actually doing baptisms, but if we're in between people getting baptized and you want to come and pray with me, I will be available. We'll have adults on each side if you want to pray. And our worship team is just going to lead us through worship. And you come as you feel able. We might have one, we might have three, we might have 20. Who knows? Let's let God respond. My encouragement to you is to don't say no to God. If God is asking you and leading you to take this step, take it in obedience today. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the way that you lead us. Thank you, God, for choosing us, even though we are a broken people full of sin in our life. God, we know that the only thing that can save us, it was what you did on the cross. And as God, we put our faith in you, you wash us free from our sin to become a child of yours. And that baptism is a way that we can then show a community that we are now one with God. So God, I pray that you move in our midst. I pray, God, that you lead us to you and that we would be willing to obey. Now let me just say this, guys. I don't want anyone to do this unless you are confident and sure that you know that Jesus is the only way, that you know that you are a sinner and you need him, that you know that you want to not just believe in Jesus by words, but you want to believe in him in your heart. I don't want this to become emotional, but emotion isn't bad. But I want you to make it the decision because it's a decision you really feel in your heart. So now I just encourage you to worship God, to listen to God. And if this is the step you're supposed to take today, let's do it. Let's stand together and let's worship God and respond as He leads. Let's stand together.